It is election day across our country. Many pundits and experts say that this is the first real test of political temperatures under President Biden's leadership. States like Virginia and New Jersey have closely watched gubernatorial races. In Minneapolis, a defund the police referendum is on the ballot almost 18 months after the murder of George Floyd. New York City, Albany, and Boston are primed to elect a minority to lead their cities, with the latter electing a woman of color for the first time in history. Closer to home now in Connecticut, key races include former Boston Red Sox manager Bobby Valentine running for the mayor of Stanford. In New Britain, the youngest mayor in the city's history and the only female mayor of the city to be elected more than one term, incumbent Erin Stewart seeks her fifth term. In Massachusetts, a total of 76 communities will welcome voters to the polls, all on the local level. From New England Public Media, this is And Another Thing. I'm Dara Kennedy. Tonight, we take a look at a few of those contests, what's on the mind of voters during these times, and a conversation with underage teenagers who are ready to cast their first ballot in an upcoming election. Now, for an overview of the municipal elections, we welcome in a veteran who's been on the other side of these elections covering it. Mike Dobbs is the executive news editor of Reminder Publications. Mike Dobbs, thank you for joining us. There are six races for mayor in Western Massachusetts. How do you see these shaping up?
Okay, well, first of all, thank you for having me. If we want to go down the list here real quickly, in Holyoke, we got Joshua Garcia versus Mike Sullivan. This generally has been seen as a contest between, quote-unquote, old Holyoke and New Holyoke. It's also been, among a lot of pundits, as a race that's been impossible to call. So I think it's going to be a very interesting one to watch and to see the outcome of that. Over in Westfield, we have incumbent Don Humison against former police captain Mike McCabe. Now, this is also very interesting to watch because Humison, who was state senator at the time that he ran for mayor, just squeaked by Mike McCabe in voting. So this is a rematch. Rematches are always interesting to watch. East Hampton has the distinction of having been the first community in Western Massachusetts, at least I know of, that's got a ranked choice voting for their mayor's race. So you have incumbent Nicole LaChapelle, brewery owner Eric Berzins, and Keith Rothier, all with a ranked choice. Generally, the pundits like to think that LaChapelle is going to be reelected with no problems. She's very popular in East Hampton, and the other two opponents really haven't offered voters very much in terms of platforms and positions. In Northampton, of course, we've got another open race. And again, for people like me and for people like the two of you, open races are a lot of fun to cover because it doesn't involve an incumbent. It means that you have a wide open group of candidates. So we have longtime city councilor Gina Louise Sierra running against business owner Mark Warner. Again, if we were in Las Vegas, I think the handicappers would look on city councilor Sierra as the person to beat, that she is going to probably be the next mayor of Northampton. But take all this with a grain of salt, because after all, the elections are frequently surprises depending upon who turns out to vote for their candidate.
It'd be interesting to see how that ranked choice voting plays out in East Hampton if the numbers tend to get more split, because sometimes we've heard that this process can be a little more confusing than just straight ballot voting. So which of those races, because you touched on a few, do you think are the most significant today?
Well, to me, the most significant is Holyoke is very significant because Holyoke is definitely a community in the crossroads. Joshua Garcia's candidacy is a candidacy that, at least on paper, would appeal to the Latinx population of Holyoke. Mike Sullivan, a former business operator and a current city councilor, although he says that he's got Latinx support in the city and that, again, he's got some progressive ideas, fairly or unfairly, he's viewed sort of as part of the old power structure in Holyoke. So that one interests me a great deal. Of course, for Hampshire County, the Northampton race is also going to be interesting because, again, you've got somebody who's going to be a brand new mayor, someone who is, we don't have an incumbent involved. So that city is also going to be looking toward one of these two candidates to implement matters. And as you said in the news report previous to this, the ballot question concerning municipal broadband is a fascinating question. And that's one of the things that I'm going to be looking at and wondering what the outcome is going to be, because municipal broadband is being discussed all over the valley. And I think it's going to be the next huge economic development tool for these communities to use in order to not only serve their population, but more importantly, to lure more businesses here. The cost of high tech, if we can offer it in a competitive way, I think it's going to be very attractive to any number of businesses and any number of startups.
These are the issues that are on the ballot that really affect the local voter, and it's important that they come out and vote in local elections, and sometimes these numbers are a little low. Mike Dobbs, thank you for joining us on And Another Thing. He is the executive news editor for Reminder Publications.
Thank you.
The race for mayor in Boston is not the only contest that will result in a first. The voters of Northampton decided it is time to have a woman as its highest ranking municipal official. We spoke with both of the final candidates about what this history means and on the future of the city they hope to lead. Jennifer Maxey tells us that she's thrilled about the message sent by having two women on the ballot.
I'm just excited to represent the people of North Adams, as well as be a role model for our younger kids, specifically our girls. I think this is just a great time in North Adams, and I'm really excited about it.
Do you think too much attention has been placed on the fact that there has never been a woman mayor of the city in its entire history?
My big focus is representing all people, but it is exciting to represent women. Yes, there's been enough attention, but the real thing is I just want to get to work, and I want to represent all of the people in North Adams.
It was less than 200 votes that separated you and Lynette Bond, your opponent here in this race, during the preliminary. How do you think the polls will come out on Tuesday?
I'm confident that my supporters will come out in mass. I think that in the preliminary, people figured it was going to come down to Lynette and I, so they may not have come out to vote. But my committee has been working very hard. We've been on the phones and in the neighborhoods talking to people. And the big thing is we need to get our vote out for Maxey for mayor.
So let's say you win. It's election night. You're victorious. What's the very next thing you do for the city of North Adams?
The next thing I do is I say thank you. I say thank you to all of my supporters. And then I welcome those people into the circle who didn't support me. At the end of the day, we all need to work together to move North Adams to the next level. And that's what I want to do.
You've been stumping for quite a bit. You announced your candidacy in July. You've been on the ground ever since. In September, you didn't stop after the primaries. What have you heard from voters that are most important to them?
Most important is that they want quality of life here in North Adams. They want safety. They want an affordable community. They want government to be responsive, and they want a voice. And that's what I want to represent.
When we spoke with outgoing Mayor Tom Bernard, he was a guest on our show last week. He mentioned the new smart growth ordinance that had just recently passed the city council, that it will help North Adams make progress on affordable housing. Is this something that you're in tune with?
I'm in support of anything that will develop new housing in North Adams. The thing about the smart growth that I just really want to work with my team on is evaluating that we have an infrastructure here in North Adams that can support that kind of development.
Jennifer, how's your family feel about this? Once you take the role of mayor, if you win, everything changes and all your time is now devoted to your North Adams family.
You know, my family has always been really involved in the North Adams community. My mother is 90 years old, and she was the one who really basically gave me a kick and said, I want to see my daughter be mayor. Let's get this show on the road. We know that it's a family commitment, but we love North Adams and I'm ready to get to work. Tuesday night, we'll be at Mingo's thanking all of our supporters and hopefully celebrating.
Jennifer Maxey, one of two women candidates for mayor of North Adams. Thank you for joining us on And Another Thing.
Thank you for contacting me. I appreciate your time.
Maxie's opponent is Lynette Bond, who told us,
"Just so happy to be part of it, to be part of this history-making day. I think we have two great candidates, and one of us will be taking office. It's very exciting."
Does it concern you that only 16% of registered voters in North Adams turned out for the prelims this year?
It is concerning. We want people to know that they have a voice in city government, and that starts with electing your leaders. So we want to see a high turnout. And already I'm seeing it. We'll see a much larger turnout today.
On a national level, people do tend to go to the polls more when it's in time for the general election, for the presidential election. Why do you think so few voters are interested in the outcome of these local races?
Well, I hope today we'll see a different outcome. I think we will see more people come out today to vote because it is important. The people who you elect locally are the people that represent you on the things that really matter to your everyday lives. So I do think we'll have a larger turnout. I think it's very important that people have their voices heard.
Lynette, what sets you apart from Jennifer Maxie, your opponent?
We know that infrastructure is quite important to both of us. I think we do look at schools a little differently. The buildings are quite important to me. I want to see quality buildings that really support teaching and learning in those facilities. I think also we need to think about regionalization. We know that we've had a population decline for the past six decades. So it's time that we really make some hard decisions and really think about our schools and the services and the quality of education that we're offering to our young people.
Federal funds are available under the Biden administration from the American Recovery Act. How do you envision North Adams use those federal funds?
I think it's a real once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. So we want to be very careful and think about what are the allowable uses. But I want to involve the community. So I want it to be a community process that is the community's money, and we want to use it in a responsible manner that reflects the needs of our city. But for me, one of the number one priorities will be to update our water sewer infrastructure.
Lynette Bond, candidate for mayor of North Adams, one of two women on the ballot for tonight. Thank you for joining us on And Another Thing on this election night.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Voters at the polls in Westfield may do a double take when choosing their next mayor tonight, or wondering if they can copy and paste their vote in from 2019 when the same two opponents faced off in an extremely close result. We were unable to catch up with the former police captain. However, incumbent Westfield Mayor Don Humason told And Another Thing that he and Michael McCabe actually agree on a lot and have become good friends over the course of these elections.
We get along just fine, except when he's running against me. Otherwise, we get along fine. I feel like it's 2 years ago all over again.
What has changed since 2019? You only won by 90 votes.
For me, the biggest thing that's changed is actually the experience of being in the office. COVID changed everything for everybody. We, as a city, had to figure out what to do. There was no playbook. It certainly distracted me from the things that I had wanted to do and that I campaigned on. Mike did the same thing. We campaigned on stuff like infrastructure, fixing our roads and sidewalks and our public water infrastructure and our sewer infrastructure and stuff like that. But COVID came in and kind of sidetracked us for a little while.
You've gotten some pushback on comments while you've been campaigning about mandating vaccinations, mandating masks.
And masks, yes. That's right.
What's your position on that?
The funny thing is that of the people that are communicating with my office about this, about half of the people who communicate with us want a mandate and the other half do not want a mandate. But in my office, I have not mandated either masks or vaccines. I don't feel I have that authority. There are some businesses in town that are requiring you to wear a mask if you go in, but a lot of places aren't.
Do you think that you have an advantage over your opponent, Michael McCabe, this time around, because you were, tell me why.
Much more than last time. We've both been in Westfield for a long time. We both know the community very well, but neither of us had been in the mayor's office at the time we ran 2 years ago. Then I was fortunate to win by a very narrow margin, but I won and was in the office. I was in the office I was sworn in on January 6th, 2020, and by March we had already put the state of emergency in place. So I haven't had a lot of time in office when the pandemic wasn't, the foremost thing that we were thinking about. but at least I have been in the office. And as such, I've had to experience all the different things that a mayor has to deal with. Even my friend Mike and I, during the debates, you know, Mike agreed with me on numerous things. And I finally made a mention at the end of the debate and said, geez, Mike, you agree with me on all this stuff. I wish you weren't running against me. I'd much rather have you work with me.
You and Mike have a really great relationship. It's good to feel and to see that there's not contention every time that there is an election.
I only egged his house a couple of times on Halloween. That was it.
Westfield incumbent Mayor Don Humason, thank you so much for joining us on And Another Thing.
Thank you very much. Have a great day.
You're listening to And Another Thing. I'm Dara Kennedy. Unlike the general election, local elections generally produce relatively low voter turnout. In Holyoke, there has been significant interest, though, in the race for mayor between Joshua Garcia and Michael Sullivan. Hear what a few voters said drew them to the polls today.
My background and passion has been food access and climate, so anything related to climate change is important in all aspects. It affects us in different ways. So I think having leaders that may understand it or want to talk about it more for local policy is important. Right now, Holyoke, you know, is such culturally rich, so let's try to have the representation there.
Holyoke had changed a lot, you know, in the last 10 years or so, but the drug problem still remains. I mean, it's smaller than before, but there's more drug addicts walking the streets at nighttime. And that's a fact. Just get more involved in the crime and the drug problems that we have in here.
Well, the school things is going on because my wife work in a school. I don't want to say which one. And they ain't, like, the kids, they ain't treating them right. The teachers and then the things going on in the schools is crazy. It's crazy. Well, I'm hoping something gets done about it, you know.
That was voters out at the polls today. Looking forward to turning 18, had its being grown feeling advantages, like finally casting a vote for your future and just being able to say, well, I'm 18 now. But well, times are changing. In one community, the next local election could see voters younger than 18 make a mark at the polls. Last year, the Northampton City Council unanimously approved lowering the voting age to 16, and the mayor signed the ordinance. However, changes in voting rules are also subject to approval by state lawmakers. A petition to permit the change in Northampton is still awaiting action. Joining us now are two teenagers who would have liked to vote today, Dahlia Breslow and Leela Nels Duffy, both members of the Northampton Youth Commission, which first proposed lowering the voting age. They join us now. Thank you so much for joining us. Your city is choosing a new mayor. What makes you want to get out and vote for this now?
To me, voting is just so special, and I believe that 16 and 17-year-olds are fully equipped and adequate and educated to vote. So I want to vote because the mayor determines the school budget and the budget for all of Northampton's facilities. And really, the mayor affects everything in this town. As a citizen of Northampton, I believe I have the right to impact this. I have the right to vote for the mayor and impact everything in my life. I believe all 16 and 17-year-olds should be able to have that right.
Leela, do you feel like you're mature enough and know enough about the issues to cast such an important vote at 16?
I do. Thank you so much for having us. And I've grown up in Northampton and I've lived here my entire life, and I've watched 16 and 17-year-olds in my town make a huge impact. They've held major protests. They're very just aware of politics and issues that are affecting them. And I think there is no reason that 16 and 17-year-olds are less capable than 18, 19, 20-year-olds and everybody else who is able to vote right now.
Well, some people don't even have their driver's license at 16, so you might need to get a ride to get to the polls. But what stands out to you right now, as you look at the mayoral race, what's most important to you if you were voting today? Dahlia, you can take that.
Oh, thank you. For me, I would definitely say that climate change is a huge issue, that is especially going to be affecting my generation, and the action that is needed needs to start now, needs to start decades ago, really. And additionally, I think racial justice, equal rights for LGBTQ people and women, these are all issues that my generation is dealing with right now and that I really care about as well.
Lila, if this were to happen and 16-year-olds were giving the state approval, how many do you think would turn up to vote?
That's a really good question. And actually, Vote 16 USA, which is kind of the national movement working to lower the voting age for municipalities, has been a part of a lot of research about the effects of lowering the voting age. And one of those is that voter turnout for first-time voters who are 16 and 17 is much higher for voter turnout among those who are 18 because they are usually in the towns they've grown up in, whereas young adults are in a more chaotic stage in life. And I think the massive, low voter turnout that we're seeing right now really needs to change. And I think lowering the voting age is a really effective way of doing that.
So what's next for the Northampton Youth Commission to get this passed?
So last June, as you mentioned, we had a hearing in front of the Massachusetts Legislature Committee on Election Laws. Currently, they are still talking through, and they haven't yet determined if our bill will advance to the next committee or to the House floor. So right now, we are advocating to the committee. We're talking with committee members and the leaders on that committee, but we're also simultaneously going downtown and reaching out to community members in Northampton, citizens, people who have opinions about whether the voting age should be lowered, and we're reaching out to them for support, because if the committee determines that the bill should advance, we have yet another legislature committee to talk to and try to convince to lower the voting age in Northampton. So we really need to show them that there is a broad support in Northampton through, like, young people, elected leaders, and everyday citizens.
Lila Nails Duffy and Dyla Breslow from the Northampton Youth Commission, thank you both for joining us on And Another Thing.
Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you. Have a good day.
Also, email us at to share comments on the program. You can reach us on the And Another Thing page on nepm.org. And you can email us at andanotherthing@nepm.org. You can join our conversations on social, Twitter and Facebook at AAT on NEPM. Join us tomorrow for And Another Thing as we take a look at the controversial gas line being proposed in multiple communities. Thanks for joining us. I'm Derek Kennedy.